talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide and live on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right to the front lines of history in the making. Some of it was made just about an hour ago. Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, was in Waukesha, the anniversary of the Roe v. Wade decision, speaking about that. And she's not going to be alone. On Thursday, breaking news just came in. Joe Biden himself, the President of the United States, will be in Superior, Wisconsin. Superior, Wisconsin. I love Superior. I've been up there a number of times. We used to vacation on Madeline Island. Madeline Island. And there are two political things about Superior you may or may not know. One of them, it's the only president who ever made Superior as his summer White House. Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge went to Superior as his summer White House. And another politician, the governor of California, went to UW-Superior as an undergrad. He was an Austrian immigrant. His name was Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger has a degree from UW-Superior. He did some of it remotely, but he did have to go up there for a number of classes and be quite a sight to walk down the street in Superior and suddenly Arnold Schwarzenegger, especially back in his early 20s, come walking down the street. So it's a great town. That whole area is great up there along Lake Superior, Ashland, Bayfield, the whole bit. So Joe Biden will be up there. He'll be talking about economics. He'll be talking about jobs. And so in 1 week, we will have gotten Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. Well, a development in the New Hampshire primary, you saw it over the weekend, Ron DeSantis dropped out. That was sort of predictable because going into the weekend, DeSantis had canceled two Sunday TV appearances. And I'm not talking about commercials. I'm talking about I'm talking about free media interviews. If you're running in New Hampshire, this is a predictor of what was going to happen. Because if you're running in New Hampshire, the primary is tomorrow on Tuesday, what, you give up two major network CNN and NBC interviews on Sunday over the weekend? No, you don't do that. The minute he did that, everybody started to wonder what the heck is going on. He claimed it was scheduling issues. It was scheduling issues. Well, he dropped out. And this is unbelievable to me. He immediately endorses Trump. Now, wait a minute. Trump ridiculed him mercilessly all through the campaign, kept slurring his name, calling him DeSanctimonious, DeSantis, you know, a little nativist edge to this thing. And Trump kept doing this. Remember with Ted Cruz, Trump said that his wife was ugly and that his father was in on the assassination of JFK. And yet Cruz endorsed Trump after Trump beat him. Beat him in the primary in 2016, and then went to a phone bank and called for him. He made calls for Donald Trump, 2016 election, after Trump had said his wife was ugly, attacked his wife personally for her looks. She's an attractive woman. Trump was lying, of course, crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump. And then he said that Cruz's father, because he came from Cuba, was in on the assassination of JFK. Well, this is not quite as bad, but it's pretty bad. If you go back and look at some of the things that DeSantis said about Trump, certainly in the debates leading up to the Iowa caucus, Trump wasn't there, but DeSantis would talk about him. DeSantis sort of chickened out, didn't attack him as directly as he could have or should have, but he basically called into question Trump's cognitive abilities, his age. And for him to turn around immediately and endorse Donald Trump? I'm not saying he has to endorse Nikki Haley. He could say, well, I'll endorse the nominee. But you can endorse a nominee that has 91 felony counts against him? Nominee who's as crooked as a dog's hind leg? He's subservient to Vladimir Putin? Has his homoerotic servility to Vladimir Putin? He's servile to Kim Jong-un of North Korea, the sadist in North Korea? Guy who says he's going to pull us out of NATO? Guy who betrayed the Kurds because the guy from Turkey, Erdogan, called them when Trump was on the golf course and said, hey, listen, could you withdraw your troops from Syria? And by the way, and let us attack the Kurds. And Trump had a seminar in his hand. He goes, yeah, sure, why not? Didn't consult any foreign policy experts, anybody else. And then the Kurds commenced to be genocided by the Turks as they genocided the Armenians 100 years ago. Go to the line, Cindy of Appleton, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cindy. What's in your mind today?
Well, I'm just wondering if this whole thing with DeSantos isn't part of the lockstep Hitler movement.
Well, you know what I think it is? Think of this, Cindy. Think, and don't hang up. Just, I want your reaction to this. Immediately, Trump puts on a panel of clowns. Tim Scott endorsed him, too. Tim Scott, for Pete's sake, was appointed by Nikki Haley. Tim Scott, you know, not the brightest bulb in the tree, stabs Nikki Haley right in the back. Nancy Mace, South Carolina, congresswoman. She's the one that talked about Hunter Biden's penis. She's a buddy of Marjorie Taylor Greene, endorses Trump. Doug Burgum, North Dakota governor, endorses Trump. Vivek Ramaswamy, for God's sake, Vivek Ramaswamy. They're all clowns. None of them are competent to have been president or anything else. But Trump has failing mental acuity as a traitor to the United States. So when you say it's like the Hitler thing, you're right. It is true that Hitler's party got a plurality in 1932. It did not get a majority, Cindy. And yeah, he was made chancellor, and he lowballed it. He isn't like Trump, who comes right out and says what he's doing. He kept saying, well, Versailles Agreement was no good. I'll do something on that. Just let me suspend the Reichstag for 4 years. And cross my heart and hope to die. I'll reinstate it. And they go, fine, idiots. And then they start getting killed. So, Cindy, I don't know. What do you think? I mean, does Nikki Haley have any kind of shot in New Hampshire or not?
Well, I don't know. I don't personally like her at all. I think she's as loony to them as the rest of them. So we'll see. But like I said, it makes me wonder if, I mean, there's obviously something more going on to this with than we know, because why would somebody like DeSantos endorse Trump after all the rotten things he said and done to him? It just makes no sense to me. There's got to be a deeper ulterior motive to this.
Right. Well, let me tell you my take, and who knows? Everybody has their own take. Thank you for calling in, Cindy, as always. What surprised me is the quickness of it. In other words, you kneel and submit after you've been whipped and lied about for all these months and so forth. I mean, if he's going to do it, let a decent interval go by to not make him look as chicken as he is. Cindy, I think that the reason he's doing it is it's a very ill-kept secret that DeSantos is gunning to run in 2028, because he assumes that if Trump wins this time, after two terms he's barred, he's assuming that Trump won't try to be a complete fascist and Hitlerian autocrat and just stay in forever like Putin. So assuming that's the case, or that Trump passes away, either in this race or eventually his heroic arteries are drowned in an ocean of fat and he has a heart attack, you know, and I don't wish that on him, by the way. I don't wish that on him. I don't wish ill on anybody. Strongly oppose Trump. But that said, he's human and everybody's human. And so at some point they're going to pass away. And I think that DeSantos is looking at that, thinking, I'll endorse him now. What do I care? I'm not going to campaign for him. And then in 2028, I can go around saying I'm a Trump guy. I think DeSantos is making a very big mistake. People like integrity. And if you can lose, but you lose with your head high and so forth. This guy, If he goes, I'm for Trump, after Trump called him the sanctimonious and the sanctus and all this kind of stuff, if he's doing stuff like that, he ain't going to get elected in 2028. He's never going to get elected anytime. He does not have the integrity. He does not. And I agree with Cindy entirely that Nikki Haley, no way she should be president. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Jean?
I second everything that's been said. And she already said that she would probably pardon Trump, you know, not free pardon him, but pardon him, you know. These are weak, feckless, frightened baby boys who bow down to losers like Trump, who's a loser, who himself bows down to Putin and Kim Jong-un and all the dictators. He's a loser. He's a chicken. He's worthless. He hangs around with pedophiles. And he dang near should not be allowed to step foot, and a criminal, let's not forget this, and a rapist, and a man who really goes after women. If you ever notice, he insults women, any women, even the women that were presidents in other countries, downgrading the women, just treating them like crap so he can be a really big boy. Come on, folks. We don't need a loser running our country. We need a strong, intelligent man who cares about everybody in our country, Joe Biden, the guy who's the real thing, not a fake fraud loser. Thank you very much, and you have a good day.
Yeah, that was excellently put. And let me tell you something. Yeah, he went after the Prime Minister of Britain, Theresa May, when she was Prime Minister, and he shouted at her over the phone, and he called her stupid and worthless. And, you know, she should have stood up to him, but what's she going to do? I mean, Britain is basically a client state of ours in terms of foreign policy and in terms of military. He calls up Angela Merkel in Germany, and he says the same thing. Now, she's a little more gimlet-eyed, and she sat there and took it. But, you know, he called other things, you know, S-hole countries and all this. We don't want this guy in again. And you nailed it, Gene, as always. Coming up, you're not going to believe it. Trump gives an interview calling the support for Taiwan by the United States in question.
Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. This was an unbelievable interview that Donald Trump gave. I hesitate to keep mentioning the name of crooked Donald Trump, lying Donald Trump, as often as I do, but it has to be done because some of this stuff is very serious. Trump gave an interview on Sunday on Fox News to Maria Bartiromo. Maria Bartiromo asked him this question. She said, if you were elected president again, quote, would you protect Taiwan from Chinese aggression? Now, the answer to that is yes. Of course, it should be yes. We supply them weapons. They're a trading partner. They have a huge semiconductor industry. And if China ever got hold of it, they simply want to steal that semiconductor industry, make them a communist Chinese state, like they did to Hong Kong, kill the opposition, deport them to the mainland, and put them into communist servility. That's what they want. And the Taiwanese don't want it. They just elected a president who's staunchly pro-independence, pro-democracy, and pro-the United States. The bipartisan policy of the United States towards Taiwan is and should be that we want them to be independent of China. In other words, yes, they are Chinese people. Yes, they speak Han Chinese. Remember something. In the Taiwanese Constitution, this used to be called Formosa, the Taiwanese Constitution, they call themselves the Republic of China. Republic of China. they aspire at some point to have their system be prevalent throughout China. The mainland Chinese, the communist Chinese, the red Chinese, the Chai Coms, their constitution says People's Republic of China. They both say Republic of China. The mainland communist Chinese add People's Republic of China. The United States wants the status quo. We want Taiwan to be independent in the sense of trade and all that. You know, we don't say we're going to support some militarily some kind of a break and formalizing it, but that is de facto what it is. You know, you've heard of de facto and de jure or de jure. De jure means by law, de facto means in fact, and the facts on the ground are that Taiwan is independent of China, and we want to see it that way. Here's what the clown Trump says. Crooked Donald Trump, Maria Bartiromo, her question was, would you protect Taiwan from Chinese aggression? Answer by Trump. On Sunday, that would be yesterday. Answer, I won't commit to anything, but I got to say that, and then he attacked Taiwan for, quote, taking semiconductor business from the United States. He refused to commit to protect Taiwan from Chinese aggression, and he attacked Taiwan, not China, attacked Taiwan, as he said it, for taking semiconductor business from the United States. Now, here's the deal. In the CHIPS Act, which had bipartisan support, and Biden got passed in a divide, I don't know how he did it, frankly, in a divided Senate, divided House, and he passed it. He passed it, subsidizing some of our semiconductor industry so we could compete. And then he forbade our semiconductors from being sold to China. And we forbade anybody who we sold to reselling to China, or they get sanctioned. And China has now complained because they don't have any semiconductors. They don't, in a communist system, they don't manufacture themselves. There's no incentive. The head guy's going to steal it, steal your action. And they don't do a good job. But Taiwan has a semiconductor business, and we like that. Bipartisan, we like that because they supply us. They do not supply China, and we can't provide all the semiconductors in the world. So the truth of the matter is that Trump is all wet when it comes to attacking Taiwan. They are doing exactly what's in our interest and what we want. Now, here's the deal. Trump, there was this, when Pelosi was speaker, just before, a couple of months before the elections, where it turned out Kevin McCarthy was going to be elected. It's the last time speaker, because they had a 4-seat majority then, or 5-seat. The Democrats did an investigation of Trump and what foreign money he was being bribed with. And there were 500 entities that were receiving money that Trump benefited from. And they got through four of them. And those four showed that the communist Chinese, that one of their leading banks that's controlled by the state, paid him something like $5.8 million for no apparent reason. When he was asked about it, he said it was for services. Of the other 496 entities, it's almost certain that he got money from them as well. And basically, the Chinese pay him. So now he's for China. Russians pay him. He's for Russia. The guy's on the take. The guy is on the take. And if he ever gets back in, I think China will feel, hell, we can go take Taiwan because Trump won't do anything about it because we're paying him. Go to the lines. Cam of Nina, my friend. Thanks for calling, Cam. What's in your mind today?
Hey, okay, so with the chip-related business with Taiwan, I build computers for one of my hobbies. I put them together, and I sit there and buy parts, and I'll sell parts online. What I understand is that we're fighting the selling of chips on two fronts right now. One is with we don't want any of the people that are manufacturing chips for us, whether it's inside the U.S. or outside the U.S., to sell to China, because otherwise they'll just go nuts with getting all the AI tech I mean, even before that, the CHIPS Act was done before any of the AI stuff was exploding, but we wanted to bring a lot of that home. Then we're fighting the fight again on another front with companies inside of the U.S. creating chips and then selling the high-end stuff and making contracts and deals with China. So like how you touched on the companies that do it, they get, I think you said sanctioned. NVIDIA, NVIDIA is one of those companies that does that. They make a lot of the graphics cards that make it so you can see stuff on the screen for like many, many computers. They keep in bad faith going around any of these rules by redesigning the chip just barely enough so they can say this is a new design that we're selling to China. And they keep doing it over and over and over. They should not be getting any of our money, and they keep doing it in bad faith, and it's not going to be good for us because they make some of the best ones.
Yeah, that's very good information and very true, Cam. Thanks a lot for calling. And the answer is our sanctions against people who do that have to be a lot more strongly enforced, and Biden is doing that right now. And just so everybody understands, one of the reasons we don't want China to have chips is they'll simply pass them on to Russia. Russia will put them in bombs and so forth, and bomb Ukraine. That's number one. Number two, China steals our intellectual property anyway. And Russia right now has to use chips that they get out of kitchen appliances to put in their weapons, and it doesn't work. We want to keep it that way. Excellent. Coming up, a lot of news and weather, and also very, very stark examples of Trump's early onset dementia. I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now, I've mentioned before on this show that I think that Donald Trump has early onset argumentative dementia, that his mental acuity is not there anymore. That's becoming increasingly apparent. I'm not the only one saying it. DeSantis said it. Nikki Haley said it. But I'm going to give you some examples that happened in New Hampshire over the last couple of days. And the concern about this is this. If you put somebody in as president, and when he is installed during his presidency, he'll be 80 years old. He'll get out when he's 82. And he has dementia. You know, they attack Biden all the time about that. Biden stuttered, but Biden is totally in command, and this guy is not. Let me give you some examples, and you can go online and listen to them yourselves, but it's kind of chilling when you get right down to it. Now, he was at a rally in New Hampshire over the weekend, and they say that he confused Nikki Haley with Nancy Pelosi. That's not true. Take a look at it yourself. Read it and take a look. Here's what it says. Quote, by the way, they never report the crowd on January 6th. You know, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley, Nikki Haley, you know, do you know that they destroyed all the information, all of the evidence, everything? Deleted and destroyed all of it, because of lots of things. Like Nikki Haley is in charge of security. We offered her 10,000 people, soldiers, National Guards, whatever they want. Totally turned it down. His cognitive decline, by the way, is becoming more apparent. Not only did Nikki Haley question it, but she said, here's her response. Quote, he's just not at the same level of mental fitness as he won when he was elected president in 2016, end quote. Now, she was his ambassador to the United Nations. She was, it's a cabinet position. She observed him in 2016, and now it's 2024, 8 years later, and he's knocking on 80. And you've got to pay some attention to what she said. Here's his response. Trump's response was this, quote, "A few months ago, I took a cognitive test that my doctor gave me, and I aced it. I'll let you know when I go bad. I really think I'll be able to tell you. Someday, we all go bad." Well, what do you mean, "I really think I'll be able to tell you"? There aren't a lot of people with Alzheimer's who go up to you and say, "You know, I have Alzheimer's." He's already gone bad. And I just don't mean morally. I mean, he's gone bad mentally. Consider this. There was a rally in Rochester, New Hampshire on Sunday. That would be yesterday. It was a clip from Right Side Broadcasting Network, which is a right-wing network, which is who he gives his interviews to and his speeches are covered by. But you can go online and see it. Rochester, New Hampshire, yesterday, Right Side Broadcasting Network. And here's what he said. And this was more like a Mitch McConnell freezing. He goes, quote, "You don't have to be a total genius. Remain in Mexico until you've garble for a number of seconds." Trump slurs his words while he's ranting and he's unintelligible. This isn't just saying Nikki Haley was in charge of security. I offered Nikki Haley 10,000 troops. All of that is a lie. Nancy Pelosi was not in charge of security. But you got to look at this clip. He was not confusing the two. He many times in the past has said that he's running against Barack Obama. In one case, he said he beat him in 2016. But this one really raised some concern. Quote, and this is yesterday. This is in Rochester, New Hampshire. Yesterday, quote, "You don't have to be a total genius. Remain in Mexico until you've garble, 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 garble." And he's sputtering. And he thinks he's speaking. He's trying to speak. Now, when Mitch McConnell freezes, and you've seen that, it's very, very painful. He stares catatonically ahead. One of the senators is a doctor. I think it's Barrasso from Wyoming. Goes up to him and puts his hands on his shoulder and says, "Are you okay? Do you want to lie down?" And McConnell just stares there as if he's seen, you know, death with a scythe and a hood coming at him. And that's where he looks. Trump, in these episodes, looks somewhat like that. He sort of freezes and he just garbles. So he takes phrases like "remain in Mexico," which was something coming from the immigration plan that he had. And then "you don't have to be a genius" from somewhere else. And then he keeps trying to talk and he's not talking. Now, here is the problem. Here is the problem. Some people say that Ronald Reagan had increasing dementia at the end of his second term. Well, the end of his second term ended in 1988. And for the last couple of years, he had a competent cabinet. You know, George Shultz was the Secretary of State, Caspar Weinberger, Secretary of Defense. I don't agree with them on a lot of things, but they were competent. And they were not crooked. Trump is liable to put in, if he ever got in again, some crooked people. The saving grace in 2016 when he won was he eventually put in people like Jim Mattis, Secretary of Defense, you know, John Kelly as Chief of Staff, you know, people, and especially in the Attorney General's office at the end, who stood up to him. But if he puts Jeffrey Clark in as Attorney General, and he puts in somebody like Mike Flynn or Kash Patel in as Secretary of State, and some other clown as Secretary of Defense, there absolutely is no guardrail. There's absolutely no safeguard for the people in this country. At the very least, you should not elect somebody who is his mental acuity isn't there. He has already shot his mouth off many, many times and showed kind of early indications of this. When he, for instance, he just blows off, you know, Kurds. Erdogan calls him. Yeah, sure. Go ahead and genocide the Kurds the way you genocide the Armenians 100 years ago. I got to get on the green and two here. Quite literally, meeting with Putin and having no interpreter, using Putin's interpreter, having the Ruskies in the White House and having no Americans there. That is what you're going to get in spades. Going to the lines. Bill of Econowalk, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bill, what's in your mind today? I think we lost Bill. Bill, when you come back, look forward to talking with you. But now he's saying things like about Taiwan, just railing about them making semiconductors, chips. Well, yeah, they do, and we're very glad about it, and they don't sell to China. And we don't want them to sell to China. We don't want China sending it on to Russia to devastate Ukraine. We don't have China putting it in their missiles, in their defense system, in their ships. Right, we do not want that. But he attacks China, or Taiwan, I should say, the Republic of China, not the People's Republic of China. The problem is, if the guy got back in, partly out of dimension, partly out of conviction, he's made it very clear he'll yank us out of NATO. And if he tries to do that, it's this treaty, and a court might stop him, but he's commander-in-chief. He doesn't have to send any weapons over there at all. He can't. He's not going to be required constitutionally to do anything as commander-in-chief. The courts don't affect that. He said that he will end the Ukraine war in one day. Well, he'll end it. He'll tell Ukraine, you're not getting any more weapons from us. And I think Putin's reasonable, and give him a third of your country. And the problem with Putin is he's a liar, a genocidal sadist, and a thief, and he'll take it, and then he will come back for more. We're going to the lines. Tim of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. Tim, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, I have a question for you, and I'll take the answer off the air. Do you think that this, this Joe Tacopino, one of his lawyers, just supposedly withdrew from a case? Do you think that's another just stalling technique that they planned anyway, just to slow things down?
I think that it is one of two things. Yes, it's partly that, but also partly he is claiming that this guy, Tacopino, whatever his name is, had advised him not to show up at the first trial against E. Jean Carroll, and the jury came back with $5 million. One reason they did is E. Jean Carroll's lawyers just got up and said, hey, this guy's not taking this seriously. He's blowing you off. He's out somewhere. He doesn't even come by. Well, the heck with him. Send him a message. You can't not show up. He blames this lawyer for having given him, quote, bad advice, end quote. There's no lawyer that I know would have told him not to show up and testify. And so I have a feeling he lied about that. He threw this lawyer under the bus. And if that happens to you, if your client lies to somehow advantage himself, there's no way you can continue to represent him. You have a conflict. You at least have the appearance of a conflict. You have a conflict in your own mind. The worst kinds of conflict is you do not want a lawyer representing you in a big case. You do not want a surgeon cutting into you to take out your appendix if they don't like you and have defamed you. That you really don't want that. You want a surgeon, and you want a trial lawyer who either like you or are professional and have no reason to hate you and dislike you. I think that's a lot of it, but he is a master of delaying this stuff. He is a master of using people. You know, they get sick, they do this, they do that. He's disrespecting the entire thing, but excellent call. Thank you so much. And apropos of that, one of the quotations that just came over the air, I should say over the wire, Andy Biggs, right-wing nut from Arizona, a right-wing Freedom Caucus, flat-out nut from Arizona, made a candid admission because he was being interviewed by a right-wing affiliate of some news station. And here's what he said, quote, we have nothing to run on in 24. I am very concerned that the Republicans have nothing to run on in 24. There's no reason to elect us. Now, That's true. It's very rare to hear somebody from the Freedom Caucus tell the truth. However, think about this. Think about this. You have Trump not only lying about people, attacking them, revealing classified documents, ginning up the insurrection, being indicted 91 times. But what has the Do Nothing House done? They bogged down picking speakers. They knifed Kevin McCarthy. They knifed Scalise. They knifed Emmer. They knifed Jordan, thank God. I mean, how many of they got a knife? This took a lot of time. This took a lot of time. Then they put in this guy, Mike Johnson, and it's all process. It has nothing to do with any accomplishment. They passed the fewest bills, I think, of any Congress, if not in history, certainly in modern history. All they have done is threaten to shut down the government a number of times, then cave close to the 11:59 p.m. deadline on the last day. That's what they've done. They've gotten our credit limit reduced by several credit agencies, not just Moody's. As a result, we're paying billions more a year in interest because of what they did. That is what they did. They've done nothing else. They're all full of themselves. And no one more so than Trump, and they all caved to the guy. And so to answer your question, Tim, and thanks for calling, yeah, it's partially delay. It's partially because I think he stuck a knife in his lawyer, or maybe his lawyer wasn't getting paid. You know how weird the guy is. It could be any one of a number of things. Coming up, Harvard University tries to clean up its image. They do an anti-Semitism task force, and now they're getting criticized and creamed by Larry Summers, one of the most prominent economists. Coming up. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Your lines are open, 844-967-2789. Harvard University has a problem, a big problem. They have a problem of their reputation, not just their image, as a hotbed of anti-Semitism and tolerance and excuses and covering up of plagiarism by faculty, and yet saying that they oppose it among the student body. So what do you do? The new incoming president, after Claudine Gay got thrown over the side — she never was competent to be a president of the university in the first place — plagiarized throughout her entire career, even her dissertation. They try to cover that up by saying, well, she just left out some citations. Well, yeah. I mean, you take somebody else, you lift a couple of paragraphs from somebody and you don't cite. That's what plagiarism is. They threw over the side, but they're keeping her as a tenured faculty at $900,000 a year, reportedly. I didn't confirm that, but that's what I've been told, which was her president's salary, even though she's no longer president. They tolerate this stuff. There were basically gangs of kids roaming around Harvard, not all of them enrolled in Harvard, harassing Jewish students, punching them, keeping them in one of the libraries so that they couldn't get out. Harvard has a real problem. So the new president decided he'd set up an anti-Semitism task force to address it. Very, very kind of meek, modest way to put it, but that's what he did. It turns out that one of the co-chairmen that he appointed was a guy, a professor, Derek Penslar, who back in August had signed an open letter along with 2,900 other signatories in the Harvard faculty, just calling Israel a, quote, regime of apartheid, end quote. This is the clown, the venomous clown, who's supposed to be the co-chairman of an anti-Semitism task force. Now, first of all, not only is the charge false, consider something. Israel is the most liberal country in the world in terms of compassion for immigrants. Give you this example. There are 9 million people in Israel. 7 million of them are Jewish. Two million of them are Arabs who like being there. It's free. They have freedom of expression, freedom of religion. They get good jobs. It's a good economy. You don't get all the murder and intrigue of all the surrounding countries. The second thing is that when people in Ethiopia disclose that they were Jewish, in other words, they think that ancestrally going way back, there was some evidence that they practiced Judaism. Israel flew them into, these were black Africans. Israel flew them all into Israel and welcomed them. Welcomed them. How many other countries in the Middle East, you know, do that? Go, okay, yeah, let's welcome you. Saudi Arabia machine guns and kills from Yemen refugees. In some cases, their soldiers have taken a man and a woman and ordered the man to rape the woman right in front of them. That's Saudi Arabia. That's Saudi Arabia. You think in China, for instance, China, if somebody from North Korea breaks in, it's the death penalty for them if they're caught back home, at least tortured and beaten. China immediately sends them back to be tortured, beaten, and possibly executed. Everybody then, what, they criticize what, the United States? Well, how about Israel? Israel flies in Ethiopians who say they're Jewish. So it's a complete lie. The other thing that kills me about Harvard is 2,900 people on the faculty, for God's sake. How many faculty members do they have? Was it only faculty? How many of them plagiarized? How many of them are anti-Semitic? How many of them are people that we took in from foreign countries? And this is the payback we get. This is the gratitude we don't get. A guy named Larry Summers taught economics at Harvard a long time. Very well-known economist. He's advised various presidents in senior positions. He also, his mother, by the way, I don't know if she's still alive, I hope she is, was a distinguished economist at the University of Pennsylvania, so it runs in the family. Anyway, and Larry Summers isn't the kind of guy normally to shoot his mouth off, and he lambasted Harvard, where he taught for all those years, and the task force, because of the appointment of a co-chair who says that Israel is an apartheid state, lying about it. This is their solution to all this stuff? And why 2,900 people? Where did they come from? What are they teaching? What kind of baloney? How many of them, how many plagiarize? I mean, who are these people? This feeling of elitism, this feeling that somehow, okay, we can rest on our laurels. You know what your laurels are based on? The university was founded in the mid-17th century, in the 1600s. So it's old. People generally like old institutions. And secondly, in its heyday, it had a good intellectual reputation. But they had a lot of Jewish students and a lot of Jewish professors who very much contributed to that. Now, there's a mob that goes through. And if you're a Jewish kid, you have a yarmulke on, You can be beaten up. These professors that signed this letter, what kind of grades do they give to students? What kind of grades if you are a religion they don't like? Or if you believe in something that they don't like? These clowns have got to be weeded out. And it has got to be at this point that with these violent demonstrations, we can't commit to continuing to import people through immigration who are essentially sleeper cells of sectarian violence. We can't do that anymore. People who are involved in harassing Jewish kids in these campuses, and they're not citizens, they should have their visas yanked for being students or faculty and deported. If they are citizens, they should be arrested if there's any violence at all in the demonstration. And this is unbelievable. This is Harvard's response. This would be like Bud Light going, okay, we're going to clean up our brand by doing what? I mean, come on. They are so tone deaf out there. It's beyond belief. It is absolutely beyond belief how tone deaf Harvard is in this thing. And they're not alone. The same is true of Cornell, Columbia. I'm very concerned about Yale. Very concerned about a lot of them. They're too big for their britches, what they are. Coming up, a lot of news and weather, and then some amazingly unusual support for Ukraine aid coming from some members of the Republican Party.